In his holy name, the name of Jesus Emmanuel, dear family of God, contrasts. Life is full of them. Right now, they're enjoying the contrast, specifically in Minnesota, between how many hours of daylight we have this time of year versus June, June 20th, the longest day of the year. Maybe you saw some of those numbers. Just less than 9 hours of daylight now, because yesterday was the shortest day of the year, right? It's going to be better from here on out, so don't worry. Come June, well over 15 hours, 15 and a half hours of daylight. That's why we like it better at that time, right? Contrasts. It's also true in all the Christmas stories, especially if you look at this prophecy of Emmanuel at who heard it first. You maybe didn't get it so much from that first lesson because it doesn't tell you much about Ahaz, but he was one of the wicked kings of Judah, southern kingdom, divided kingdom of Israel. If God said something, they should do something, Ahaz would not do it. And if you weren't supposed to, he would do it. Go for that. And lead all the people to be just as grossly immoral as he was. So everything was contrary to God. He was constantly testing God. And the Lord had warned him through the prophets, and then sends Isaiah to give Ahaz some assurance that these enemies that are going to be attacking from the north are not going to be able to destroy his army and the kingdom in the south. And now when he's told to ask for a sign, you can just picture Ahaz stomping his foot and saying, I will not ask, I will not test the Lord. It's like, all the other times I will, but this time I won't. Well, the Lord has had about enough of Ahaz. And in the typical way that the Lord does this, he comes with a gospel promise right in the face of this wickedness. All right, the Lord will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and name him Emmanuel. Doesn't that remind you of the promise given in the garden to Adam and Eve, the very first gospel promise to the enemy whose name is Satan, the devil, the liar? And the Lord promises that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. That first gospel promise was said to Satan. This gospel promise, and really referring back to that first one, is said to a wicked king Ahaz. We will contrast that with dear Joseph, the stepfather of our Lord Jesus, and shout with him today, with Joseph, welcome, Emmanuel. Joseph is shouting, but not with words. Can you think of a single time in the Bible when Joseph actually says anything, this Joseph? Cool thing about computers, you can search this out, just type in the words and look. The only time that Joseph said, Joseph told, or Joseph promised is about Joseph in the Old Testament in Genesis, or reports about him. Maybe one or two others, but never. The stepfather of Jesus never says a word. But actions speak louder than words. And what we're seeing here in his actions are welcome Emmanuel, even in the righteousness of a broken heart. Is there any pain worse than a broken heart? I mean, as far as we know, I mean, can't prove this. This is a take it or leave it thing, but it seems like Joseph was probably an older bachelor, never married before. He finally finds this woman who's universally respected, a virgin of Israel. And then to find out that she's expecting, he knows it's not his baby. What to do? And before he's even thinking what to do, can you imagine the emotions that must have just been ripping up his heart? I mean, the highs and the lows, you got the disappointment, the hurt, and the anger. All of those matters of the heart that are so tender at times like this, and it certainly would have kept Joseph awake all by itself. But there was something else. Along with the matters of the heart in Israel, there were legal matters. God gave perfect law through Moses, not to show how to save ourselves, but to show us our sin. And one of the capital sins was fornication or adultery. There's that time, remember, when the Jewish leaders bring that woman caught in the act of adultery to Jesus. They're trying to discredit him in front of the crowds. You always got to wonder, really, she was caught in the act, but where is the man? Yeah. It wasn't always evenly applied, was it? I don't know of a single time when it actually was applied, but it was there, and Joseph knew it. And it wasn't just the matters of his heart, but to disgrace her, to bring even the disgrace of that on her. He had already decided he would not. He was going to walk away quietly. Let her go is actually the word for divorce, or it literally means let go. See, Joseph was a righteous man, not because of his conduct, but because of his faith. He was one of those Jewish people of ancient times believing God's word through all those prophets when God kept promising a Savior, a Messiah, and trying to make sure no one would forget. And no one really realizing at that point that this, to keep this promise would mean the sacrifice of God's own son. The angels didn't realize that. But here are the promises repeated over and over again. And Joseph believed those promises, and by faith in the coming Messiah, he had taken hold of, received that righteousness that comes by faith and is received by faith. Paul says in Romans that the law and the prophets testify to this. It's nothing new with Paul. It's just that Joseph knew his own sin in a very personal way. Like his forefather 1,000 years before, David, the king who committed adultery and murder and then confessed in Psalm 51, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. But also those comforting words, and you should say those to yourself when you're feeling guilty and ashamed. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. That's why David came and asked, create in me a clean heart, O God. Or in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Can you just see the gates of the heart flung wide open, the portals of your heart? Redeemer, come, I open wide my heart to you. Here, Lord, abide. When you know the promises and the sweetness of that gospel, you're not afraid to confess honestly and openly, or to welcome Emmanuel even in broken-hearted righteousness. Joseph's actions are shouting. Matthew reports this is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary pledged to be married to Joseph before they came together. He knew that too. She was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Can't imagine the gossip back in Nazareth. Small town, all relatives. She's pregnant. Joseph, though, is a righteous man. He did not want to disgrace her privately now, quietly. He's going to walk away. But as he's considering these things, more in the Greek, it's like as this was just tearing up his heart, emotionally just tearing him apart. He finally fell asleep, and in the sleep, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. See, reminding him who he is, the son of David, the promises of the Savior were going to come through that king and down through the royalty. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Do not be afraid. You realize the very first confrontation between God and people after they took the forbidden fruit, rebelled against God, was, I was afraid. That's what Adam says. I was afraid because I heard you walking. And what does the Lord do? He takes that fear away. And the angels, when they come, they don't talk about, don't be afraid of me in my power as an angel of light. The angel says, do not be afraid. Here's your greatest fear, to take Mary, your wife. Because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, the worst day of his life, the worst period of his life, turns into the greatest joy. And Joseph understood. Those promises are coming true at last. Mary is carrying the Son of God. We don't know the name of this angel that came to Joseph at this time. The Holy Spirit didn't tell us that. We know it was Gabriel that went to Mary and announced that she would be the mother of our Lord Jesus as a virgin. That was Gabriel. And it was Gabriel who went to the old priest Zechariah. But this one, just an angel. Just an angel who says the same thing, because the holy angels all report the same word of God as all the faithful prophets did. Same message, just a different time. The Advent message today is still prepare, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. But we're worshiping the Christ who has come and is coming again. Came first to suffer, is coming again in glory to take his own home and judgment. We've talked in previous weeks and previous sermons about knowing what that verdict is already by faith. Joseph was trusting that too. You realize Joseph had some options here? I mean, what would be the normal option for anybody in that circumstance? Most would just get mad and make it hurt as much as it was hurting them. Even in brokenhearted righteousness, we see Joseph wanting to walk away quietly from it as faith, the obedience that comes from faith. The gospel says, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, but your faith is never alone. It always reacts, it always shows, and it was showing in that too. But when he hears that his task now under God is to take Mary as planned, as his wife, we don't hear the words, but we hear him shout with his actions. In brokenhearted righteousness, the man who was just compassionately kind becomes a champion of faith and courage and steadfast love to be for Mary what we all really hope in our heart of hearts is just someone to understand, someone to care, someone to be coming in as a friend when everybody else is going out. That soulmate, now that he knew the truth of the baby in her womb, faith goes into action. You see faith born love in Joseph. You notice Joseph doesn't ask any questions. Well, how could he? He doesn't say anything. That's right. Doesn't ask any questions either. There were questions before. Mary asked innocently, how can this be since I am a virgin? And Gabriel simply answered a question. The power of the highest will come upon you, and the glory of the Lord will shine around you, and you will be that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit. There was another question, though, that didn't go quite that well. The cameras weren't there. We don't have a recording. But when Zechariah asked a similar question, there must have been doubt and unbelief in his voice. Because he and old Elizabeth were way past childbearing years, and Gabriel was in the temple telling old Zechariah they would give birth to a son. That would become John the Baptist. You'll name him John. But Zechariah asked, how can this be? And he received the Lord's discipline for asking a doubting question like that. He could not speak until the Lord's word was fulfilled. But Joseph, he trusts, he believes. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. The gospel is taking away his fear. And the angel says she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus. Hispanics like to say Jesus. It wouldn't be quite as normal in an Anglo culture to name your child Jesus, but the Hispanics don't care about that. They just name a lot of their kids, their boys, Jesus, Jesus. And you'll find it in other cultures too. You can hear it. It sounds similar. And you can hear it in the Old Testament. 1,500 years before this, remember that? The Lord delivered his people from slavery in Egypt through Moses. They wander for 40 years in the wilderness. When they come to the promised land, who leads them across? His name is Joshua, which is the Old Testament Hebrew equivalent for Jesus. It means the Lord saves. But more literally, I love this, it means he makes a wide way. In our culture, we talk about being between a rock and a hard place. The Chinese like to talk about being between two jagged rocks. You think about how in this world we have the suffering and difficulties that we all have to go through on the one side, and the times we fail to make the right choices. And on the other side, you have God's wrath waiting to punish every sin. We might take it lightly in our culture, but God's holy law teaches us to believe that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're taught to believe according to that sad, harsh message of the law that cuts us no slack. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But here's the blood, the body and blood of our Lord in the Holy Supper. This is my body, this is my blood shed for you to wash away the sins of the whole world. That good news is what heals our hearts as it was healing Joseph here and Joshua as he's making a wide way for the people. The water stood still, and you can look on a map and see how many miles on the Jordan River were dry land to cross over into God's promised land. And just the times when you feel like you're all hemmed in, think of Joshua the deliverer and Jesus the Savior making a wide way so that all God's wrath is appeased and all of what his holy law demands is supplied. In the perfect life of Jesus that counts for you. In your baptism, Christ's righteousness put on you. So Jesus, good name for this son. He will save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. In faith-born love, we need to know the rest of the story because the Lord just didn't leave the promise there with Joseph. He's ready to go, but he needs the strength for what's coming. As we follow through in the Epiphany season, we see the flight into Egypt and so forth. We will see Joseph in action, in courage and faith, in faith-born love. But we're told here through Matthew, all this happened to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. This would be the prophet Isaiah. We heard him before. Look, the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So a rabbi and a Lutheran pastor walk into a bar. Wouldn't you love to hear that story? I really don't know that story. They were actually on the phone. Okay, they're on the phone. The Lutheran pastor doesn't know he's talking to a rabbi. Somebody just calls him out of the blue and asks him, why do you believe in the virgin birth? The pastor quotes Isaiah 7:14, the virgin will be with child. Doesn't know he's talking to a rabbi. Who comes back really hard and says, we don't accept the New Testament. Because he thinks he's just quoting from Matthew chapter 1. And besides, Alma can mean young woman. Maybe you've heard that before. That's the Hebrew word for young woman or virgin. Now you maybe have that thrown up at you too, but just very kindly, respectfully, just ask whoever is asking the question, well, let's just go back to where it was first said in Isaiah. Does this really make sense in context? This wicked king needs a sign. So the Lord, to give him a sign, is going to say, a young woman will be with child and conceive. I can just picture Ahaz, who, you know, stomped his foot, just yawning at that point and saying, so what? Old women don't have children. That's not a sign to say a young woman will have a child. I've personally searched out every single instance of Alma in the Old Testament. And the lexicons are right that say this. There's not a single one that requires the meaning young woman. Virgin fits in every one. And in the Hebrew, it's not a virgin. Unfortunately, the King James said a virgin in both of these in the quotes. That wasn't typical King James literacy. It literally says ha'alma, which means the virgin. And when this passage from Isaiah is quoted by the angel or by Matthew in Matthew chapter 1 in our text here, it again says, hey, parthenos. That's the virgin. In the New Testament, that word parthenos is always virgin. And I believe that alma always is in the Old Testament too, because that always fits the context. And the virgin, it's called the article of previous reference. Remember the virgin I told you about? When I said that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head, you know the biology. The seed doesn't come from the woman, but the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. I believe that's where the virgin birth was already prophesied. And when the Lord came and said to Ahaz, here's the sign, the virgin will be with child. And then again to Joseph, the virgin will be with child. That's the one I told you about before. It's the same Holy Spirit that inspired all those words, and there is no doubt. And we can't doubt. We need the God-man to be our Savior. If it was just another human being, he'd have to die for his own sins. But as the God-man, the Holy One, he can come and shed the only innocent blood that there ever was to wash our sins away. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, God with us. We'll look more at that on Christmas morning when we look at the gospel for Christmas in John chapter 1. Emmanuel, God with us. He was with Joseph. And we have to look at, we as we say with Joseph, in our own brokenhearted righteousness and in faith-born love, thank you, God, for Joseph. And welcome. Come, O my Savior, now. Amen.